Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be looking at the halachas of Hoitzah, of carrying. This is a new concept. This is Pei Aleph, the 81st chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is arguably one of the most complicated of melachos, of the acts that are prohibited on Shabbos. And we're going to start off this section in Pei Aleph in 81 by looking at what's called the domains of Shabbos. In order to understand the halachas of what is not allowed to and what is allowed to do on Shabbos, one needs to understand the parameters of the different domains of Shabbos. We're going to look at all four of them now, and we'll look at the halachas that pertain to them in the coming days. There are four different domains of Shabbos. They are called Rishus Hayachid, the private domain. There is the Rishus HaRabim, which is the public domain. There's a Karmelis, which seems to be an in-between domain. And then there's Makom Patur, which is a place which is sort of neutral. We will now explain and discuss each of those four different areas. The Rishus Hayachid, the private domain. We know that a Rishus HaYachid, what is a Rishus HaYachid? So a private domain is obviously something which is fenced in, walled in. It doesn't have to have that there's fences or walls all the way around. We'll see some of the examples. Obviously, you can have gates, you can have doors, you can have openings in that way. But primarily, it has to be fenced in. And you need to have a minimum surface area of 4x4 tefachim. A tefach is a handbreadth, so 4x4 handbreadth, which is measured at 14.2 inches or 36 centimeters. So it really isn't a big area if you consider it a private domain. And then also the fence or wall around it needs to be at least 10 tefachim high, which is 36 inches or 90 centimeters high for it to be there. So it could even just be like the sort of ledge, right, which has got, you know, an area which has got a fence around it. Or as an example, let's think about other examples of this. It could be something like a ditch, which has got walls of 10 tefachim down and an area surface area at the bottom of more than 4x4 tefachim. In that case, it also is. Or for this, you have a mound which has walls of 10 tefachim high and has a surface area of 4x4 tefachim. That could also be true as well. What about slants? So let's say it's a slanted mound. So we'll discuss, as we talk about this, what's called tela mislakeit, which means we can look at the certain ratio of distance, of vertical distance to horizontal distance. We'll discuss in future opportunities as well. What about something movable? So let's say I have a barrel in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's surrounded on all sides by this the outside cover of the barrel, and it has in it a sufficient space that even though it's movable, it's still considered a Rishus HaYachid. So you can create a Rishus HaYachid within the Rishus HaRabim. How far is the airspace of the Rishus HaYachid? Meaning, how far up does it stretch? So the interesting halacha is that with Rishus HaYachid, the private domain, it stretches all the way to the heavens, which means even the airspace is considered private domain in this respect. We'll see some applications of that in the coming days. Where does the wall of the airspace belong? So let's say I have my private domain, I have my property, and I have a wall around it. So let's say I put something on top of the wall from the public domain. Is that considered putting it into the private domain, or is it considered part of the public domain? Meaning it needs to be very precise to understand what the parameters are halachically, legally. So the answer is that the wall airspace is considered a part of the Rishus HaYachid, a part of the private domain as well. And similarly, what about holes in the walls? So let's say I am putting something in a wall from outside. Have I transferred from Rishus to Rishus, from one place to another? So it depends. If the hole is accessible from the inside, so it's a hole inside of the private domain, if I put something in that nook, it's considered still in the private domain. But if the hole is mufulash, which means it goes all the way through, and that hole is below three tefachim, so it's within three hand breadths of the ground, that is considered Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, and therefore putting something there from the inside might be a problem in terms of Hoitzah as well. It's worthwhile being aware of that in countries where they don't have fences around properties, there is a difference between the legal parameters of property or private domain and halachic parameters, which means it could be that a person has a beautiful house with a lawn open to the sidewalk, to the pavement, and in such a place, one would say, well, this is my lawn, this is my property, But that's not true when it comes to the halachas of Rishus Hayachid in terms of Shabbos. So one would not be able to carry, if there's no Erev, from the sidewalk, from the outside of one's house into the inside of one's house because there's no fence in such a situation. We now move on to the Rishus HaRabim, which is the public domain. What is the public domain? So this is a public thoroughfare which is not surrounded by any perimeter fences, which is at least 16 amos wide. That means 28.5 feet or 6 meters wide is the minimum width of it as well. So what are examples? So these are main roads of cities. These are highways between cities as well. What about mounds or dirt ditches in the in the main road? So if the, let's say you have a ditch, which is a shallow ditch or a small bush, let's say, or garbage, or that's on in the public domain in the road. If it is shallower or if it's less shallow than 3 tvachim, which is 10.6 inches or 27 centimeters, so it's a ditch which is shallower than that, or a mound or an object which is lower than that amount, then it's considered like it's Rishus HaRabim. But if it's higher or lower, it can be perhaps a Mevakam Patur, Rishus HaYachid, or a Karmelis, depending on its dimensions. What about side roads, which sometimes act as an overflow? So let's say it's a main road, but there are side roads. And certainly today, when you have Waze and people are rerouted doing side roads, what happens if there's side roads which are sometimes used during rush hour? So in those cases, it can be sometimes considered a Rishus HaRabim and sometimes considered a Karmelis, which we'll get to in a second. Are there any other requirements? The Kitzur notes that there are, they're based on the Gemara, there are some poskim who say that the Rishus HaRabim needs to only be a Rishus HaRabim if it can have in the daily traffic over 600,000 people using it, like it was in the desert. In the desert, the public thoroughfare was used by the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel measured at least 600,000 people, and so to qualify as a Rishus HaRabim, it would need that as well. What difference does that really make? So it makes a huge difference because you cannot use a Tzuras HaPesach, which means, you know, when we use those poles and the string on top, that's creating what's called a door frame, right? So what you're doing is you're framing the streets within an Erev. You're using fences, but you're also using those what's called a Tzuras HaPesach, a door frame that you've created for this area. That door frame does not work for Rosh HaSarabim, Da'araisa. You cannot use those Tzuras HaPesach if your main thoroughfare constitutes a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, only if it's a Karmelis, which is one step low, which we'll discuss in a moment. So whether or not there is a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, a biblical public domain, has great implications on every single Erev as well. And that's why there are hesitations in Manhattan and in Brooklyn, Ocean Parkway, Times Square, where it's very clear that you do have the numbers to make that a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, whether you can have an Erev there. Though that's the question that this revolves around right now. There are many other variables to consider, but this is something, is Manhattan naturally surrounded by Mechitzos because of the incline of the rocks around it. These are a lot of discussions that are had. But be it as it may, this is what they center around. And this becomes a big debate. The Mishnah Berurah and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are machmir about Erevs, most Erevs. You look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan defends many of the Erevs. This is not a simple topic, but this is where it stems from. Move to our third concept, which is a Karmelis. What is a Karmelis? A Karmelis is a public thoroughfare, but it's not walled in, but it's not as much traffic as a Rishus HaRabim. It may have some mechitzas, but not all of the sufficient fences around it. What does the word actually mean? So it comes to the word rach and mol. Rach means soft and full. It kind of means to say that it's not fully there. It's not a Rishus HaYachid. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. So what are examples of, you know, side roads, fields, rivers, mounds, which are in the Rishus HaRabim, which are between 3 tvachim to 10 tvachim high, and they have a space of a surface area of 4 by 4 tvachim. So in these situations, that's called a Karmelis. We deem most of our streets as a Karmelis, which is why we're able to use certain elements of Erev, which are helpful as well. Let us jump into the last concept, which is the concept of Mekom Patur, which is a neutral space. What is Mekom Patur? So it's a surface area in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, that does not have the surface area of 4 by Tvachim. So it's a very small surface area, but it is more than 3 Tvachim high. So it's sort of like a little pole or a little stump or something which is high enough, but not big enough in surface area. If such an area appears in a Karmelis, what's the halacha? So if such an area appears in a Karmelis, it's like the Karmelis. It's not like a Mekom Patur. We'll see now the halachas. Now that we've got a sense of what the Rishus HaYachid, what the Rishus HaRabim, what the Karmelis, and what the Mekom Patur are, we can now start analyzing all the halachas that pertain to those in the next episode. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful